Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group, NCA, in Zuchus of Rivka Bela, Bas Nechama Shifra, and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. Today we're going to be looking at Simon Hay, the fifth chapter in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, on the laws of cleanliness in holy places, and this is part two. Last time in part one, we looked at what is considered unclean and the areas that are affected by this. Now we're going to be looking in part two at places which are considered unclean, like places inherently considered unclean, and laws of nakedness as well. So the basic concept over here is that there are certain places or certain things which remain inherently unclean and cannot be present during prayer, even if there's no excrement or urine nearby. Let's take a look at this. What are these things? What is considered unclean? So a toilet, even if it's empty, a bedpan made of wood or earthenware are a problem. And like there's something even like a pig's snout is an example given, which has always just got its nose, its snout in the garbage, in disgusting things. And even if it's washed, these are inherently considered problematic as well. If there's a metal bedpan and it's cleaned, then that's not a problem because it can be fully cleaned. Where this sometimes comes up is when one has a baby's party. Today, a lot of times, parties are made of plastic. Where does plastic fall in this continuum? So on the one hand, it is not earthenware. On the other hand, it is not metal. So when it comes to this, is perhaps a good way of looking at this is whether one can kasher plastic or not. And generally speaking, the OU Paskins, that lacharchila one should not, but one b'dieved can certainly in this case, which means to say there is a little bit of a doubt as to the level of porousness and cleanliness one can achieve with plastic as well. That being the case, it is a good idea to avoid having a baby's potty in the room, even if it is clean as well. What can be done to rectify the situation if one of these items is present in the room? So they need to be actually removed or completely clean, free from smell, and completely covered as well. The Kitzur talks about an interesting situation where there is a seat which functions as a seat, but then has a cushion and a pillow over it, and then it actually has a hole in it and can be used as a toilet if it's completely clean and is being used as a seat now. That's fine, but again, that's not such a practical situation. What does not help? Meaning, what would be a situation in which this is not good enough? So, taking the bedpan and turning it upside down or sliding it under the bed is an issue. That would not be enough. One would not be allowed to pray in that location as well. What about saunas or steam rooms? So people, this is not now no longer about discharge. This is no longer about disgusting things that smell. This is simply about people being unclothed. So any place that people undress in, one may not mention the name of Hashem or any matters of holiness in that place as well. What about names of Hashem in other languages? So that also is a problem. That would include saying the phrase, "Oh my God," which people just throw around today. That is a problem to be said in a bathroom, in a bathhouse, a sauna, in places where people are unclothed. What about someone who has a name which is Hashem's name? So an example of this, of course, is the word Shalom, which means peace, but it also is one of the connotations to the name of Hashem as well. So if a person has such a name, there's a debate as to whether one can say that name of a person, because Shalom itself is one of the names of God. This actually goes back to an interesting discussion which is had in the Megillah of Rus, where Boaz turns to his reapers, his employees, and says, "Shalom Imochem," and he greets them with the name of peace. And there's a whole discussion as to the fact that he reinstituted greeting people with the name of Hashem to bring God consciousness back into life. And the concern with that is the cost of such an institution is the fact that people may mention it inadvertently in unclean places as well. So there's a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, there are those who suggest that one should perhaps change the name ever so slightly, Shalom, in a way that it's not actually the full name of Hashem in a restroom. Again, very hard for people to focus on this as well. And one naturally uses one's, if one says Shalom Aleichem regularly, one has to be careful in the bathroom as well. Finally, the last concept we're going to look at today is the idea of nakedness. That means to say, as we move from unclean things now to uncovered parts of the body, one cannot say holy matters in the presence of unclothed part of the covered parts of the body. So what, first question, we're going to look at six questions here. First question is, whose nakedness counts? The answer is, any person who is naked or uncovered in front of one, and even one's self as well. What about children? So even the nakedness of children is inappropriate to say a bracha or a matter of holiness. The only exception to this is when they're performing a circumcision, a bris milah, where obviously the child's diaper needs to be uncovered. What if I close my eyes? I don't see it. So that does not help. This is objective. A person would need to be facing away in such situations as well. Which body parts are an issue? So the most obvious point is any of the private parts, organs of a man or a woman, are objectively a problem if they are revealed for themselves and for others around them. However, for men, there are extra added stringencies. A man may not pray in the area where it's not just the private parts of a woman which are uncovered, but even a hand's breadth of area which is usually covered for a woman. And there are different customs around this. There are certain basic objective measures, the elbow and the knee, when it comes to certain the neckline. But a man may not say a bracha or a matter of holiness when an area that is usually covered is uncovered as well. And this is true for a man praying or davening in front of one's wife as well. These are all extra stringencies levied upon men singing. So the truth is, the Gemara tells us that kol b'isha erva, that when a woman sings, that is considered something for a man that a man has to avoid, certainly if it's not one's wife hearing. And when it comes to saying matters of holiness, not to be saying it in the same way. However, when it comes to this, if no alternative exists, so there is an operetta who lives next door, and she is not interested in being told when or when not to sing, and the person needs to daven shachris, then once or Zman Kriya Shema is coming up, one may do that in that circumstance when there's no alternative as well. What needs to be covered on my body to say a holy matter? So the truth is obviously one's private parts need to be covered when saying a bracha or any matter of holiness, whether a man or a woman. However, here again, there is an extra stringency upon men. And that is that for a man may not say a bracha, even if one's private parts are covered, if there is an exposure between one's heart and one's private parts, which means that one can, let's say, be wearing a dressing gown or a flowing nightgown that has no belt. In such a situation, there's no break between the heart and one's private parts, and that would be a problem, even though the private parts are technically covered. To avoid this, one should tie the belt on the dressing gown or wrap one's arms around one's chest so that the dressing gown or the long shirt that one's wearing is clasped against one's chest as well. This is not a concern for a woman. If she is sitting down, she does not need to worry about this concept. What is again fascinating about all these halachas that we are learning is here we have a situations which govern the most private of aspects of our lives, but it still matters how we act even when others perhaps aren't even aware. Have a wonderful, meaningful day.